Now coming to the next section, that is 56, subsection 2, subsection 1D. Under this section, interest on securities. Now, interest on securities, there are two words. One is interest and another is securities. Now, interest on securities is defined under Income Tax Act, under Section 2, Subsection 28B of the Income Tax Act. If you will see Section 2, Subsection 28B, you will get the definition of interest on securities under Income Tax Act. So, interest on securities or bonds of the companies or of the government, including central government or the state government or the corporation or any provincial government, shall be taxable as income from other sources. Earlier there was a particular section called Section 14B of the Income Tax Act, which separately treated income from interest from securities as different source of income, this different head of income. But now this particular section is no more. So what I want to say, my dear friends, if it is interest on securities, what is security? Security means your amount which you have given by way of debentures, by way of bonds, is secured. That is called security. So if I earn the interest on debentures, on the government bonds, on the public sector bonds, this is called as interest on securities. Once it is interest on securities, it shall be taxable under Section 56, Subsection 2, Subsection 1D, whoever earns it. So, whenever there is an interest on securities, it shall be taxable as income from other sources, and interest on security is defined under Section 2, Subsection 28B of the Income Tax Act. So, this is how interest on security shall also be treated as income from other sources. Now, here, next is Section 56, Subsection 2, Subsection 2. If I let out or give on hire my plant or machinery or furniture, I have got a computer and I give it on hire. It is not my business to do the hiring business. It is not my business. Hiring business is not my business. But somebody came to me that please give your computer on hire basis, and that person gives me 10,000 rupees yearly. Now this 10,000 rupees is my income. Of course it is income. But it cannot be treated as income from business or profession. Profits and gains of business or profit, because it cannot be treated because it is not my regular activity. What is the meaning of business? Business is defined under Section 2, Subsection 13 of the Income Tax Act, which says that an activity which has been carried on with an intention to make the profit. That means this must be a regular activity. Even irregular activities are treated as business. Isolated transactions are treated as business. But believe me, my object was to purchase the computer and use it. Now I am not using it. Somebody has asked for it. I charge rent on that computer. It is not my business. Once it is not my business and I earn 10,000 rupees, this must be treated as income. Once it is income, it has to go within five heads of income. It will go under Section 56, 2, Subsection 2 as income from other sources. This is how we have to understand the concept of if I let out my plant, if I let out my machinery, if I let out my furniture, and letting out is not my business activity, and then income is generated, that income shall be treated as income from other sources. Now, I'll take you to Section 56, Subsection 2, Subsection 3 of the Income Tax Act. Same lines, same analogy. Under Section 56, Subsection 2, Subsection 3, if I let out my, suppose this is my house, and in this house This is air conditioner. This is furniture. This is washing machine. Lift. Now, if I give this house on rent of 50,000 rupees per month, including these facilities of AC, furniture, washing machine, lift. So, if I let out my house along with air conditioner, along with furniture, along with washing machine, along with lift, along with computers, then this letting out is, what do you call it, along with my house. So, I get consolidated income. This consolidated income cannot be treated as income from house property, because you cannot separate what is the income from air conditioning let out, what is the income from furniture let out, what is the income from washing machine let out, what is the income from lift, because all have been let out simultaneously, and there's a consolidated rent of 50,000 rupees including the rent on the house. There is, I can't segregate. Once you cannot segregate, then this amount of 50,000 rupees, which also includes letting out of the house, letting out of the machinery, shall be treated as income from other sources under section 56, subsection 2, subsection 3 of the Income Tax Act. So, if the assessee lets out his house along with the air conditioner, along with the furniture, along with the washing machine, along with the oven, along with the computer, along with the desk, along with the dining table, along with the lift, and the consolidated rent inclusive of all these services has been paid to the extent of 50,000 rupees. Now, this 50,000 rupees shall be taxable as income from other sources by virtue of section 56, subsection 2, subsection 3. Would you not ask me that we have read a particular point under section 22 to section 27, this should have been treated as income from house property? You are right. So, if the letting out is not separable with the machinery, with the plant, then that letting out income shall be treated as income from other sources. But if the house is rent, say house is rent for 40,000 rupees, and letting out of these things would give you 10,000 rupees, then this 40,000 rupees is purely for the house. This will go under the head income from house property under section 22 to section 27 of the Income Tax Act, and the balance amount of 10,000 rupees which has been received by way of letting out of the machinery will go under the head section 56 subsection 2 subsection 3 of the Income Tax Act or section 2 of the Income Tax Act. So this is how the incomes are segregated. Now the next point is, if suppose I am a trust and one of the employees of the trust is having, what do you call it, a policy called as Keyman Insurance Policy. One of the employees is having Keyman Insurance Policy of the trust. Now, I would come to a very important section, that is section 56, subsection 2, subsection 4 of the Income Tax Act. What is section 56, subsection 2, subsection 4? This talks about Keyman Insurance Policy, which has been matured. Now, suppose I am a trust, and in the trust there is one employee who is very important person, and I take out Keyman policy. I means a trust. The trust takes out a Keyman policy that in case something wrong goes to this person, I may lose the activities of the trust. So I take out a keyman policy and I pay the premium of rupees, say 15,000 per annum, say insurance premium, keyman insurance premium. Now this 15,000 paid shall be allowed as a deduction. But suppose after 20 years that policy matures and I receive 18 lakhs rupees plus 2 lakhs rupees as bonus, then entire 20 lakhs rupees received on the maturity of the keyman policy shall be taxable under the head section 56 subsection 2 subsection 4 as income from other sources if I am not doing business or if I am not a salaried employee or employer. So keyman, and what is keyman policy? Keyman policy is defined under section 2 subsection 24 subsection 11 of the Income Tax Act, which says that the maturity of the keyman policy shall also be treated as income. Not only the maturity amount, but the bonus amount along with the keyman policy received shall also be treated as income in the hands of the recipient. Now, if I take out simple endowment policy or life policy and it matures, then that is not taxable. That is exempt under section 10, subsection 10B of the Income Tax Act. But the scheme and insurance policy shall be taxable under what you call it, section 56, subsection 2, subsection 4 of the Income Tax Act. This is how we have to understand. Now, I carry your attention to the most important point, and that is income from gifts. Now I come to the very important point, and that is treated as gifts. Gifts received by individual or HUF. Now, what is the meaning of gift? Gift means something is given, maybe in the form of cash, maybe in the form of immovable property, maybe in the form of other movable properties. If it is given, then without any consideration, then that is called as gift. Now, suppose Mr. A gives rupees, what do you call it, say rupees 80,000 to Mr. B. Now, Mr. A is called as donor. The person who gives the gift is called as donor. And the person, Mr. B, who receives the gift is called as donee. Now, this amount of 80,000 rupees shall be treated as gift in the hands of the donee. Now the question arises, if this 80,000 rupees which has been received by Mr. B shall also be treated as income in the hands of Mr. B? The answer depends on the following situations. Now see here. Now, as far as gift is concerned, it is governed under section 56, subsection 2, subsection 7 of the Income Tax Act. Now, please understand, gift received from a relative. Please understand, if the gift is received from a relative, and relative is defined under explanation to section 56, subsection 2, subsection 7. And second, gift is received on certain special occasions. And third, gift is received from non-relatives without any occasion. And fourth is gift received from any person up to ₹50,000. These are the four elements of what you call it, gift. Now, if you will see relative, relative is explained under explanation attached to section 56 subsection 2 subsection 7, which means the spouse of individual or brothers and sisters of individual. And brothers and sisters of spouse or brothers and sisters of parents, etc. Or what do you call it? Lineally ascendant and lineally descendant. That means if I receive ₹1 lakh from my wife and my salary is 8 lakhs rupees, 8 lakhs rupees is my salary and this is my gift from my wife. Since my wife is my relative, then this 1 lakh rupees shall not be treated as income by virtue of section 56 subsection 2 subsection 7, because gift received from these relatives shall never be taxed, whether it is given of any amount or on any occasion. So if you receive gift from your wife or from your brothers or from your sisters or from your, what do you call it, brothers and sisters of your wife or your husbands, that, or your parents, brothers and sisters, your uncle, your auntie, etc., then this amount cannot be treated as gift at any time in the hands of the recipient. It will be totally exempt. So gift from relatives is never taxable. Gift from relatives is never taxable. Gift from relatives is never taxable. Once we have understood this, let us move to certain special occasions. Now here, I told you relative is never taxable, whether he gives on occasion or without any occasion. Now, if the gift is received on the occasion of marriage or on the occasion of what you call it will, or under what you call it under succession, inheritance or succession is okay, or if the gift is given in contemplation of death by any person, these are the special occasions. If the gift is given on marriage, if the gift is given under the will, or gift is given under succession or inheritance, or in contemplation of the death, whoever gives, whatever amount is given, irrespective of that, it shall be totally exempt from tax. So suppose on my marriage, one of my friends gives me 10 lakhs of rupees. it shall not be taxed because it has been given on special occasion. If my brother gives me 10 lakhs rupees on my marriage, obviously whether it is marriage or not marriage, since he is my relative, it will be totally exempt forever. But on special occasions, even an outsider gives on these special occasions, it shall be exempt to tax. Now the third is, if the non-relatives give the gift without any occasion. Now see here, if the non-relative give the gift without any occasion, then it is taxable, provided the amount of gift should be more than ₹50,000. So non-relatives give gift without any occasion, it shall be taxable if the amount of the gift is ₹50,000. Now my question is, Mr. A has received the gift from Mr. B, from Mr. C, from Mr. D, from Mr. E, from Mr. F, from Mr. G, from financial year 1/4/2011 to 31/3/2012. Now Mr. B has given 10,000 rupees. Mr. C has given rupees 20,000. Mr. D has given rupees 15,000. Mr. E has given rupees 40,000. Mr. F has given rupees 1,000. Mr. G has given rupees, say, 30,000. But G is the relative of Mr. A. Now the question arises, what shall be the amount of gift taxable in hands of Mr. A? Let us understand. First, the gift from relative is totally exempt. We will not consider this. But B, C, D, E and F, they are his friends and they have given the gift without any occasion. It was never given by them on his marriage. It was never given on the contemplation of the death. It was never given under inheritance. It was never given under succession. It was never given under a will. It was given just like that. Say birthday. Now each person has given less than 50,000 rupees. Shall it be taxable? The answer is yes, because the aggregate value of the gift will be considered in this financial year. What is the aggregate value? 10 plus 30, 20, 30 plus 15, 45 plus 40, 85 plus 1, 86,000 is the value. So this 86,000 rupees shall be included as income from other sources under section 56, subsection 2, subsection 7A of the Income Tax Act. Is that clear? Now the question arises, I told you that the gift up to 50,000 is exempt. So can I get the deduction of basic 50,000 and only 36,000 will be added, or entire 86,000 will be added? In this case, the moment gift exceeds 50,000, entire amount shall be added and 50,000 will not be given as a relief. So this is how the question of gift is there. Gift is taxable. But suppose my relatives do not give me a gift in cash or gift by check or gift by draft or gift by account paycheck, but they give me gift of immovable property, which is land or building or land plus building. Now, if the immovable property, say land or building or both land and building, they have been given by the relatives, whatever is the value, here when I say the value, I mean stamp value. So whatever is the stamp valuation, stamp duty valuation, it shall be exempt from tax. But if it is given by a non-relative and the stamp duty valuation is more than ₹50,000 or 50,000 or more than 50, sorry, more than 50,000, then the excess amount, then entire amount shall be taxable. Let us understand. Suppose one of my friends has given me the land whose market value is ₹2 lakhs and the stamp duty value is ₹2 lakh and 30,000. Since the friend is not my relative and it is immovable property, which is defined under section 56, subsection 2, subsection 7, subsection B of the Income Tax Act, then this amount of 2 lakh and 30,000, which is the stamp duty value, shall be totally added to my income because it is income from other sources. Now, so what we have understood, if the immovable property has been given by a non-relative whose stamp duty value is exceeding ₹50,000, the entire amount shall be considered as your income from other sources. Sometimes my friends may give me movable properties such as, what do you call it, paintings, shares and securities, then what do you call it, drawings, sculptures or antiques, or you should write archaeological collection or work of art or any bullion or any jewelry. These are movable properties. So painting, shares and securities, drawings, sculptures, archaeological collection, work of art, bullion, bullion means gold bars, silver bars, or jewelry, and whose market value is more than 50,000 rupees. Say, my friend has given me jewelry worth rupees whose market value is 3 lakhs. Now, my friend is not my relative. Had it been given by my relative, it would not have been taxed. Relative, if he gives cash, or if he gives immovable property, or he gives the movable property in these forms, shall never be taxed. But non-relative, if it gives in cash more than 50,000 without any occasion, it shall be taxed. So jewelry, market value is 3 lakhs. The entire 3 lakhs rupees shall be taxed in my hands. This is how we understand the concept of gift, which is under section 56, subsection 2, subsection 7. My dear friends, we have understood under section 56 that these are the incomes which shall be taxable. Of course it is taxable, if provided they are incomes. So if they fulfill the criteria, conditions, parameter of section 2, subsection 24, and which cannot be put in rest of the four heads of income, they will certainly be the part of section 56, subsection 2 of the Income Tax Act. So what we have learned in section 56? We have learned in section 56, subsection 2, subsection 1, dividend income. We have learned section 56, subsection 2, subsection 2, what you call it, lottery income. We have learned under section 56, subsection 2, subsection 3, what you call it, the PF income. We have learned in section 56, subsection 2, subsection 4, the let out of plant and machinery and furniture. We have learned in section 56, subsection 2, subsection 5, let out of plant and machinery along with the building. We have learned in section 56, subsection 2, subsection 6 is no more. We have learned in section 56, subsection 2, subsection 7, gift concepts. So these are treated as a part of this, and we must say that section 56, subsection 2, subsection 4 talks about scheme and insurance policy, and section 56, subsection 1D talks about interest on securities. So interest on securities, scheme and in policy, etc. So PF contribution of the employee, if it is not deposited, shall also be treated as income from other sources.